AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Democratic National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. It's a homecoming tonight for two of the speakers, former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama, on this second night of the convention. ABC's Catherine Falders is in Chicago.
They're coming here tonight. They're going to speak in primetime. They're the keynote speakers, and their message is essentially going to be that Kamala Harris, the vice president, her running mate Tim Walz, are the future of the country. They are needed to move this country forward. Now, Obama, he'll probably speak for about 30 minutes or so. He will essentially make the case that you have two options here. You can either vote for them with the enthusiasm and moving the country forward, or you can go back to where we were 4 years ago with Donald Trump.
The delegates will also hear from Harris's husband, second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. Harris won't be there tonight. She's attending a watch party in Wisconsin. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. At the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's almost like two conventions in one. Vice President Kamala Harris's Milwaukee rally tonight will be shown live to the DNC in Chicago. Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
The people we need to excite are people who don't have a $500 a night room or train fare to try to, get here.
And that person can stay in Milwaukee.
Go to the Five Serve Forum.
Governor Evers says it goes to show what technology can do. Young Democrats say they're especially energized. 18-year-old delegate Henry Pello is from Maribel. He says young Democrats are urging people to contact friends and relatives personally about registering and voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Well, today is the day the Madison Common Council will decide whether to put a $22 million referendum on the ballot. Residents would vote in November, and if passed, it would raise property taxes on the average Madison home by about $20 a month. Without it, the city would have to make 5% cuts across the board, and city leaders warned that would be devastating. It would slash services, put projects on the back burner, and force layoffs. Starting in the 2025 budget, the city faces a $27 million shortfall. But alternatives are popping up, though, too. Just yesterday, Alder Marsha Rummel proposed a $29 million referendum and cutting fees. Now, of course, that's higher than the proposed $22 million, but the State Journal says it would actually be $11 cheaper per month for residents because you'd also be cutting fees. The Common Council has their special meeting tonight to vote on the referendum. Of course, we'll have full coverage for you tomorrow morning. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is WMDX News.
The Brewers in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals open up a three-game series tonight at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Milwaukee's Frankie Montas against the Cardinals right-hander Eric Fetty. The Brewers with an 11-game lead ahead of the Cardinals in the division, coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians. The Cards losing to the Dodgers Sunday 2-1. NFL, Packers back at practice after losing in Denver 27-2. Quarterback Sean Clifford on what he could have done differently in the game.
It's tough to say just now, Broadly, speeding it up a little bit, I thought that there were some plays to be made where my eyes were just late. When you're playing guys like Pat Surtain and, the Broncos once, you just can't be late. And if you are, it's going to either, result in an incompletion or an interception. So I thought that was, when we had plays and we made plays, it was on time.
That's Packers backup quarterback Sean Clifford. They face the Ravens Thursday in a joint practice. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
92.7 WMDX weather is brought to you by Water Lantern Festival in Madison. This weekend, August 24th at Warner Park, 5 to 9 p.m. WaterLanternFestival.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low near 50 tonight. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, nice day, high mid-70s. Partly sunny and upper 70s Thursday, chance of showers late. Showers linger into early Friday, then heating up into the weekend. It's 71 right now.
Are you looking for an unforgettable experience that's all about joy, connection, and making memories? Look no further than the Water Lantern Festival. Join thousands of fellow revelers at Warner Park, 2930 North Sherman Avenue in Madison on August 24th, where the magic begins at 5 p.m. Friends, family, and even strangers coming together under the stars to witness breathtaking spectacles of floating lanterns. Eat, drink, and celebrate, and forge genuine connections with others. Be part of this incredible experience. Register now at waterlanternfestival.com.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll have more tickets to give away from Wisconsin Dells Attractions.
And from Substack, Mike McCabe. Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Now, your hosts, Todd Alba and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Center in Chicago, Illinois, in night two of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News. I'm joined by Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media. Todd, thanks for stopping by tonight.
And as always, a pleasure, Terry. Great excitement here in Chicago, and thanks for having me at the desk.
Oh, it's great to have you here. We have a lot to talk about today. The big one today, I would say, from a standpoint of a Wisconsin person, is the fact that I like to say it's almost like two conventions in one tonight, or the convention is in two separate venues tonight, because as we speak, the crowd up at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee is getting ready for their own rally with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Yeah, absolutely, Terry. It is this kind of divergent, a tale of two cities tonight, and not that far away. I know we're going to bring in, I believe, via phone, Mr. Zommer, our great producer, engineer, back at the world headquarters in Madison. Dan Schaefer of the great recombobulation area is on the phone. Dan, it's our understanding that you are on the ground outside the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. What's the scene there right now?
It is full of excitement here in downtown Milwaukee around Fiserv Forum. There are long lines to get in, and inside, the DJ Shauna is rocking the party here, and it is like a playoff game type atmosphere. I've been here for, you know, many people know I'm a huge Bucks fan. This is quite the experience. It does remind me of being here back in the building during the Bucks playoff run a couple of years ago. It's that kind of excitement.
DJ Shauna is a busy individual indeed. She was at House of Blues last night until at least midnight because I saw her playing there. So now she's up in Milwaukee. She's everywhere. Dan, stand by a second because Terry alluded to this. This is a really important night for the Harris campaign. Not only are the Obama speaking, but Michelle, former President Barack Obama here in Milwaukee, or in Chicago, but up in Milwaukee you have Harris and Walz up there. David Plouffe, who of course ran Obama World to help Obama into the White House, is now being brought on and helping run Harris World. He talked to WISN Channel 12 today, Matt Smith, and talked about why Harris and Walz are in Milwaukee. Here is that clip.
Why is she in Wisconsin inside Fiserv Forum Tuesday night? What's the significance of that in the midst of DNC?
Well, first of all, we only have 77 days left, so even though the convention's going on here, if you've got an opportunity to get to a battleground state as important as Wisconsin's going to be, you take it. Secondly, Trump delivered his convention address there. I think she'd like to contrast what she'd do as president with what Donald Trump said a few weeks ago in Milwaukee in that arena. But Wisconsin's going to be critical, as it always is. And so, you know, the one thing that keeps me up at night is tomorrow there'll be 76 days left. Like, there's only so much time to get into battleground states and make your case to voters, and she's very focused on doing that in a direct way.
What is your biggest concern that you see in Wisconsin in terms of winning the state? As you know, 10, 20, 30,000 at best voters are going to decide that.
Well, that's what's the biggest concern. It's just going to be close.
Yeah.
So I think Kamala Harris has the enthusiasm required to build the kind of organization to win a close state. the Wisconsin State Party under Ben Wickler is a great organizing machine. So there's good apparatus there. The folks in that state have won a lot of close elections up and down the ballot over the last few years. So we're very confident in that. But in this election, you know, Wisconsin's not going to be decided by more than a couple points. You know, unless Donald Trump really closes poorly, I still think Kamala Harris has some upside.
David Plouffe, who ran Obama World and now is helping run Harris World. Dan Schaefer, you know Wisconsin politics better than anybody I know. It couldn't have gotten more discombobulated than 30 days ago when President Biden decided to withdraw. Help us recombobulate this. 77 days left. What does this mean to have Harris and Walz in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you're right. It has been a discombobulating summer in the political world, but I think it is important that, you know, they're recognizing this opportunity here to bring Harris and Walz to Milwaukee, you know, the same place that Donald Trump delivered his speech less than a month ago for the RNC. And, you know, I ran into State Senator LaTanya Johnson here at the arena a few minutes ago before we jumped on the call here. And you know, she talked about how important it was to motivate people in Milwaukee to get to the polls. And I think, you know, there have been, we know that Wisconsin is kind of going to be one of the six or seven swing states that is going to decide the winner of the presidential election. And why not just make a quick trip up the road to Milwaukee, have a little call and response maybe between the
right.
two cities, between the two arenas. And, you know, maybe Kamala Harris just wanted to be in the arena where the basketball team has won a little bit more lately, right? Everybody loves
exactly,
the winners,
exactly.
Right?
So, you got the MJ yeah. statue down here in United Center, but it's Giannis Antetokounmpo who's won the championship most recently.
Dan, I was speaking with Congresswoman Gwen Moore earlier today, and she said a lot of things that you touched on, and it seems very important, I think, Milwaukee. We heard a lot about how important Wisconsin is, but it should not be lost in the conversation that Milwaukee is terribly important to how Wisconsin does, especially women of color.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, State Senator Johnson talked about that too, but I also think about, you know, with Barack Obama speaking tonight, I think that's a good reminder of how turnout can really be changed by who's on the top of the ticket. When Obama was running for re-election in 2012, that was the high watermark for turnout in the city of Milwaukee, and it has not really reached that sense. So perhaps, you know, with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket and rallying people here in Milwaukee, obviously she made her first campaign rally once she became the presumptive nominee in West Dallas less than a month ago, now back in Milwaukee again during the DNC. You know, I think we're going to see a whole lot of stops from the Harris-Walz campaign and drive those turnout numbers back up to where they were when Obama was on the top of the ticket.
Dan, you're very connected. Have you heard from anybody? I've heard some scuttlebutt speculation around here about maybe it wasn't such a great idea to have the Harris rally and the Obama speech on the same nights, that it might be diluting one speech or the other, and that there might be some kind of scheduling conflict. Have you heard anything about how they're going to pull all this off successfully tonight?
Yeah, it's certainly a lot to manage, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, once the speeches get going, what the, you know, back and forth is going to be like between these two events. But I think, you know, the more activity, the better. And we think, you know, I think we know that it's going to be really important to capture that enthusiasm. I think, you know, the immediate change talked about, you know, the honeymoon period for Kamala Harris. Being on that ticket, you got it. It's important, like the clip that you played before, to, you know, recognize just how little time there is between now and Election Day. So perhaps if there had been, you know, if this was a little further out, maybe we space these things out a bit. But I think it's just all gas, no brakes for the next 70-some days until we get to Election Day.
Dan, very quickly, before we go to Stuart J. Waddles, who is also covering other activity in southeast Wisconsin, to Terry's point, have you heard that the scheduling in terms of getting all this in, I heard that people coming to Fiserv tonight to see Harris Walz in person, they're also going to be able to stick around, and hopefully the timing matches up that they can listen or watch Obama on the big Jumbotron in Fiserv tonight.
Yeah, I have heard a little bit about that. They talked about being able to watch inside the arena. I think there's also going to be people outside watching in the Deer District. It's a beautiful night in Milwaukee, so I think you're going to get a lot of people out and about downtown enjoying the speech too. So I think it's going to be able to, you know, I'm just thinking back to 3 years ago when we were celebrating here during the Bucks' remarkable championship run. Maybe we'll have the same kind of good vibes here for Barack Obama's speech.
Harrison 6. Harrison 6, that's what you're telling me. Terry Bell, your great news team.
That's right.
Terry Bell, your great news team. Stuart J. Waddle's all over this. There's other excitement happening in Southeast Wisconsin today.
Stuart's had a very busy day today. Not only is he at the Harris Walls rally in Milwaukee tonight, earlier today he was in Kenosha covering Republican vice presidential running mate J.D. Vance's appearance there. Stuart, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, very bipartisan day for me. Very bipartisan.
That's true. So I guess now that you are there, and I know these were two very different kinds of events, so it may not be an apples to apples comparison, but, you know, talk to me about what struck you about, you know, being at both of these venues today and the difference.
I think that the same thing is energy, whereas earlier today you had 200 people, but you had that energy. Here, we're in double-digit thousands. I know Fiserv has capacity at 17,000. Trying to see some of these seats that are pulled back. At this point, it's tough to get a number on it, but again, just the differences in numbers, there's the energy between it all. And what I just learned, and was kind of interesting, so DJ Shauna is doing her thing inside. I heard you talking to Dan about that. She just did a little vibe check of the crowd, saying, who's here from where? Who's here from there? She asked who's here from Illinois, and I was kind of surprised at the amount of applause. So there's a lot of Illinesians that have made the trip up. So going back and forth, they're at the DNC there, and then there's you might be familiar with the term Wrigley North. I kind of am considering this United Center North. For this evening.
Very quick, let's go back to Dan Schaefer. Dan, I want to get your take on this very quickly because you follow state legislative races in Wisconsin better than anybody. What can this do potentially with these new maps now in Wisconsin, having Harris and Walls continuing to pound on the ground in Wisconsin grassroots? What effect could this mean in November for Wisconsin Democrats in the Assembly and State Senate?
Yeah, I think enthusiasm translates to turnout, and turnout translates down ballot. And I think that is a really important thing to recognize about this as well. You know, one of the best sites that projects state legislative races around the country is a site called CAnalysis. I've used them in my projections as well. They are now projecting that the state assembly is going to be a toss-up. Before it was leaning Republican, I think they gave the Democrats about a 30% chance of flipping the state assembly. Now they've moved that to 50-50 with a number of races all shifting in the Democrats' direction. So I think, you know, I think there's going to be a couple of things happening that are going to be benefiting each other. I think the enthusiasm at the top of the ticket for Kamala Harris is going to matter for down ballot candidates. I think we're also going to see some reverse coattails, as they call it, with some of the more energy with the new maps, you know, kind of pushing more people into the streets to campaign, more people knocking doors, more people making phone calls for those state legislative races. And that's going to matter up and down the ticket. And I think the more, you know, competitive elections that we are going to have in the state legislature, and there's going to be more in now than we've seen in more than a decade in Wisconsin with the new maps, that is going to reverberate up and down the ticket in a myriad of ways.
Dan Schaefer, I'm no soothsayer, I'm no fortune teller, God knows I'm no psychic to the stars, but I see more combobulating between us in the future. That's what I'm seeing in the future. Dan Schaefer, thank you for helping us recombobulate.
Dan and Stuart, too, thank you for joining us from Milwaukee. Still to come, we're going to talk about a very key part of Wisconsin and the difference it could make for all kinds of elections. Stay with us.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Gordy here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less. RocketIndustrial.com.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on Mad Radio, sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Once again, your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Chicago, and we are joined now by Josephine Janes. She is a standing member of the Democratic National Committee and a former chair of the 3rd District Democratic Party in Wisconsin. First of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And the your former title that I just mentioned is the reason we're having you on tonight. And I may be a bit of a homer. Todd and I each are sons of the 3rd District. And still stay in touch with a lot of folks back home. And I find the 3rd District absolutely fascinating in this election year. In a race that we hear about a lot about how important Wisconsin is, I'm willing to bet that you would agree that the 3rd District will have quite a bit of say into how things turn out in November.
I mean, the road to flipping the House of Representatives runs through Western Wisconsin, as does, I think, the road to the White House.
Right. So, I mean, it's the number of votes in the 3rd District is just incredible. I mean, they were responsible for about half of the margin in a recent statewide Democratic victory. I cannot remember which one off the top of my head, so I apologize. But it just goes to show how critical the 3rd District can be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really shows, like, looking at Judge Janet's race and the recent referendum races. Like, if you look at Western Wisconsin, we turned out. And I think that really shows that Dem messaging works. And I think it's a good sign for this November.
I am curious to know the 3rd District Congressional Democratic primary just came out. The elbows were a lot sharper than we normally see in primaries in this day and age of politics. Do you think that's going to be something that activists are going to have to work hard to overcome some hurt feelings and some feelings like that?
I mean, I think there's always hurt feelings after a primary. It came on both sides, so I think there are going to have to be a few, you know, bridges kind of mended. But we'll come together because beating Derek Van Orden is a lot more important than anything that happened before the primary.
I would venture to say that voters in the 3rd District not only have contrast in policy positions, but in personal style, too. It's style and substance that voters seem to have a clear choice on this November.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of the reason why I think that the 3rd is so flippable, is because of the fact that Derek Van Orden, he's an embarrassment, to put it plainly. And he's not even one of us. He's a carpetbagger. He moved into the district in 2020 to run against Ron Kind. And then he's just kind of stuck around until he finally got in office and has just constantly made the news for all the wrong reasons. And out in Western Wisconsin, you know, we don't like that. You know, we liked Ron Kind quietly doing the work for us. You know, we don't like flashy.
Well, and I think that extends all the way back to Steve Gunderson. He was very much a moderate that, you know, a lot of Democrats could get behind.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've got a lot of kind of people who cross and other tickets. And I mean, I ran for office in 2020. I ran for the assembly and people had my signs next to Trump signs. And I can tell you my messaging was nothing like Trump's. But it's a lot about character, too, which is funny that they had Trump sign up if it's about character. But
well,
again,
split ticket voting is very much a Wisconsin tradition. I have to say that.
Well, and I think it's especially the more local the election, it's your neighbor. You know, we don't really see red or blue. We see neighbors, which is why I love Tim Walz being on the ticket nationally, because he gets us. Yeah. And I think compared to Derek Van Orden, Rebecca Cook, she is one of us. You know, grew up on a dairy farm, in rural Eau Claire County. She knows how to talk to her neighbors. I think people don't understand. Some Dems don't understand how us rural Dems, we don't get the luxury of always speaking to like-minded people because there's not a lot of them. You know, we learn how to talk to our neighbors in church basements and at the grocery store, in schools. So we're able to have these conversations a lot easier, and we're able to communicate our progressive values in a way that isn't scary.
That's what I think one of the great things about the 3rd District is. You know, you have some, you know, generation families that have been in that area, you know, for 100 years or more, and maybe some of them might lean more conservative. And then you have a lot of the transplants that have come to the area maybe in the last 40 years or so. And the harmony in these towns is just remarkable. I just love going back to visit.
Yeah, that's actually my family. We're a transplant family. Yeah. My parents are both from the area, but my grandparents weren't. And then actually, my dad was in the military, so I wasn't even born in Western Wisconsin, but we moved back. But it's definitely the sense of community in Wisconsin and in rural communities, Western Wisconsin in particular, like, community matters. And I think that that's, again, Derek doesn't get that.
I think somebody who grew up in Richland Center and still have a lot of family back there, went to school at Platteville, and I think